Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're coming to you live this morning, November 2nd, from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we're very excited to be here. This week, we're actually talking about a topic that everyone loves, money. We're covering the booklet, The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore, today. You can find a copy at thetrumpet.com. You can look at it right now, even if you want to, while we go through it. This booklet is extremely logical and helpful. It really does help us view our finances the right way. It starts out by talking about how we have every luxury imaginable here in America, but also in a lot of other nations around the world. Even in third world nations, most of the time, their standard of living is higher than it has ever been in history. So we have so many luxuries and conveniences, things that we often take lightly or don't necessarily even think about very thankfully like we should. But at the same time, most people are also extremely unhappy. Why is that? Why is it that despite having so much abundance here in America, 85% of people are still living from paycheck to paycheck? In other words, if one paycheck doesn't come in, people are in big trouble. They can't pay their bills. They have no savings to help themselves out. So much abundance, and yet at the same time, people even who have hundreds of thousands of dollars a year coming in salary are struggling to even pay their bills. Clearly something is wrong here. And maybe it's just because our focus is too selfish. Maybe we're thinking inwardly a little bit too much. It's easy to do that. Obviously, we earn our money, and we think that we should be able to do with it whatever we please. But if that's totally true, why do we pay taxes? Obviously, none of us would pay taxes if we weren't forced to by the government. The government does seem to steadily increase these taxes, especially for those of us in America who remember history and how a 1 cent tax raise basically caused the Revolutionary War. It does seem a bit crazy that some of us are paying 20, 30, 40, 50% of our incomes in tax. But it is required. You will not find a single instance in the entire Bible that would allow us to rebel against that. A great scripture talking about this is Matthew 22, verse 21. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. The context here is the Pharisees trying to challenge Jesus Christ on whether taxes are lawful. They wanted to trap him in this question. If he supported taxes, he would be seen by the Jews as pro-Roman or pro their overseers or their overlords. Obviously, the Jews wouldn't be too impressed by that. But at the same time, if he was anti-taxes, he could be in trouble with the Romans for possibly stirring up some unrest against the government. All Christ had to do here, though, was point at the currency that was used. He looked at the coin. He said, "Whose face is on the coin?" And they told him it was Caesar's face. That's why he said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." His own face is on the money, so you have to give him or pay him part of the money if he tells you to. But look at the second half of that verse. It says, "And unto God the things that are God's." How many people live by that principle today? How many people actually understand that God does have a claim to our income? That's why the first program in this series was really so important. It covered the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, Does God Exist? That is the fundamental question that we must answer, really, before we can answer any other question that we face in life. Does God exist? If he does, what does he tell us to do? How can we best obey and serve him? If he doesn't exist, well, then we can do whatever we want. But you would think it's pretty important to figure out for sure what the answer to that question is. We've already proven in this series pretty thoroughly that God does exist. He is the creator of the entire universe, including this earth. Every bit of the resources that we use on this earth was created by God. So he does own everything that we use to produce things. Whatever our job is, he is a vital part in us being able to produce. If you're a logger, well, he created the trees that you're cutting down, and that's how you're making your money. Even if you're working with ideas, even if you're a philosopher, let's say, well, who created your mind? Who is even allowing you to use logic and to think on the deeper things? Obviously, everything belongs to God. That's why it is justified that if he tells us to pay a portion of our income to him, we should definitely do that. All of our wealth comes from God, and we should think of God as a business partner. That's what this booklet, The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore, says. It says here on page 4, consider it. God created you from nothingness. He allows you to work on his earth, to use its resources, forces, and energies, to use what others have extracted from this planet in manufacturing, distributing, selling, buying, and investing. Whatever your occupation or profession, you are actually working in partnership with God. Yet, God has reserved for his use only 10% of your income. What a generous partner. And after you have been honest in paying God's 10% to his chosen representative, only then does God declare the other 90% legally yours. Think of any business partnership. If both of you are putting in somewhat equal amounts of work, you could say, and yet your partner only asks for 10% of the increase, well, you would think of that as a very generous business partner, someone you would always want to keep working with. It might even make you feel a little bit guilty that you're only paying 10%. That's all that God asks, is that we pay 10% to him. After all, like we've been saying, God created everything that we are producing anyway. It's only fair. God definitely has the authority to ask us to pay 10%. And this booklet thoroughly proves that. It's backed up by a lot of scriptures, and you need to go and study this for yourself. This booklet also answers a lot of very important questions. Who do you pay the tithes to? God, of course, but how do you get that money to God? Is there a person or a group of people to contribute that money toward? Is tithing a practice that is still relevant today, something that is still commanded in this age? What about tithing while we're in debt? What if we have all kinds of car payments, rent payments, utility payments piling up, and we're in a bit of trouble because of some sort of emergency that came up? Should we even pay tithes to God during that time? These are pretty critical questions that actually do determine our financial success. It's easy to think that if we can save for a rainy day, as people say, that maybe we'll be successful. If we are smart with investing into the right types of companies, that will be successful. And those are some great principles. But the first thing to look at is putting God first. And that doesn't even just apply to money. Putting God first is important in terms of our priorities, our time, our energy, our resources, and of course our money too. Matthew 6 and verse 33 brings out that point. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you look at the context of that chapter, it's talking about physical things and why we shouldn't worry about them. We shouldn't be concerned about finances, because if we are putting God first, if we are paying God his 10%, then we really don't have anything to worry about, because he will look after us in everything else. If we haven't paid tithes in the past, should we try to calculate all that money that we should have been paying him and pay him back? Well, no, it's not something where this debt has been stacking up for decades just because we didn't know about tithing. If you're just now finding out about it, God doesn't expect you to now go back and pay tens of thousands of dollars. Like with any principle in God's law, the basic point is, as soon as we understand what the law is, we begin obeying it immediately. God expects obedience as soon as we find out a point about his law. He holds us strictly accountable. This is really just an extremely helpful book. If you look down here on page 6, there's a subhead, Prove Me Now. And it's talking about how really this can be a test of faith. Tithing can be something that seems like maybe is unnecessary. Maybe for some people who haven't tithed before, tithing can seem like an added burden. Oh, an extra 10% of my money is now going to disappear. But think about it. God has to come first. He's the creator of the entire universe. He's in charge of our lives. In just an instant, he could give us incredible blessings, or he could take things away. Wouldn't you want to be on God's good side by obeying this simple principle? It says here in Malachi 3, verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It says here on page 7 of the booklet, the financial law you can't afford to ignore. Again, you can find that at thetrumpet.com. God has 1,000 ways of blessing you, making your money stretch, and giving you many material blessings, if you never let those blessings come between you and him. He's going to open up heaven, like this scripture says, and pour blessings out upon you like rain, if you obey. If you don't make those blessings the new God in your life. It says here, again on page 7, if you are a farmer, God sends the rain and the sunshine when your crops need it. He will make your vehicles last longer, stretch your wardrobe further, and protect your other property. If you work diligently and are faithful in paying him his portion, he works with you, blesses your effort, and causes your partnership with him to produce and earn more. Those who faithfully tithe find that the 90% that is left goes further than the 100% ever did before. That is absolutely true. I've heard stories from dozens of people who have practiced this law of tithing, and it seemed like maybe they were going to go deep into debt. Their budget didn't seem to support them paying an extra 10% of their income to God. Yet miracles always seem to happen. to work out the difference. They might get a promotion at the perfect time to raise their income enough so that they could now afford to tithe. Like the booklet says, the financial law you can't afford to ignore. That's not just a figure of speech in this case. That's literally true. You can't afford it financially to ignore the tithing law. Maybe a bonus will come around or a tax break. But from all these different people I've talked to, tithing actually does greatly increase what they're able to do with their money. A great logical point here on page 7 is that when we only have 90% of the money left, it does make us budget and plan more efficiently and more meticulously so that the money does stretch. It definitely is an exercise of faith, but the proof is there. God is challenging you to prove him. Why not take him up on that challenge? Why not see if he would open up the windows of heaven to you and pour out blessings on you like rain? There are some really inspiring examples related in this booklet. You can find those on pages 8 and 9. And then right at the end here, there are some helpful practical points. Really, this entire booklet is practical. It's specific. It's talking about paying 10% of your income. Well, that's talking about before taxes are taken out. Remember, God comes first. So the government takes out taxes, but they don't come first. God comes first. The 10% comes out before the government deducts the taxes. In other words, you're paying tithes on the gross amount, not the net amount of your income. There are some different situations here that you can look at in the booklet on pages 10 and 11, where some circumstances might be a little bit different, but the principle remains consistent. What about after paying tithes? Is there anything else we should do? We know that paying tithes is commanded. It is our duty as true Christians to support God and his work through tithing. But that is commanded. We absolutely must pay 10%. What about giving? You don't give tithes, you pay tithes. What about giving? Acts 20, verse 35 says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And really what God is looking for there is the right kind of an attitude. Are we happy? Are we positive? Are we excited to give? A lot of studies have shown that the more that government raises taxes, the less that people give to charitable causes. We know that the government doesn't spend our money the right way. And that can be frustrating when we see them wasting a lot of money on different surveys or scientific experiments that really don't mean anything, trying to figure out if there's a life outside of this planet when the biblical answer is that no, there is not. We could have saved a lot of time and energy and effort searching for life out there because we already know that there isn't. What about all the social programs for people who are physically capable of working but don't? Basically, workers have to pay their taxes to support the lifestyles of those people too. But we definitely pay our taxes because we don't want to go to prison. That's a pretty big motivating force. The government doesn't use our money well, but God always does. And God comes first. He's more important than the government. He always uses our money for a good cause, for delivering a warning message of hope to the world, for trying to save as many people as possible in this age from the punishment that is coming on our nations. It's always a worthwhile cause when we tithe, when we give. This is the one place where we want to give as well. It says here, Matthew 6 and verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we're spending all of our money on luxuries and conveniences and lavish road trips or vacations, but we're not giving any money to God, you'll see what happens. It, basically, very quickly, your thoughts will become dominated by those physical things. Every waking moment, almost, you'll be having to fight off those thoughts. But the more we give, the more we contribute to the only worthwhile cause on earth, which is God's work, the more our thoughts will also be focused on God's work and on God himself. It says here on page 13, in every case, those who started out in the Christian life but neglected to tithe and give regular offerings have gone backwards spiritually and drifted further and further from God. Two paths, only two, are open before you. One is the path of obedience to God, the path leading to eternal life. The other path is that of disobedience, of selfishly robbing God, and you can find that in Matthew or Malachi 3 and verse 8. The stakes are enormous. This is such a simple principle, but like I said, it is one that a lot of people are going to resist. It's difficult when maybe our budget is strapped as tight as possible and we don't think we have the money to pay 10% to God. But it just requires a change in thinking. It requires a positive mindset. Once we know that God requires that 10%, we should then be happier to pay that and to give extra beyond that to God. Again, it's much more worthwhile to pay God and to give to God than it is to pay the government or to pay for health care or whatever car payment you might have or whatever it is. So here is a practical booklet. This is the financial law you can't afford to ignore. You can read it online at thetrumpet.com. You can download a digital copy. You can request a physical copy. This booklet just points out, like I just quoted there, that there is one way of life. There's one right way, and it's obeying God. This is a principle that if we apply it, will bring so many great blessings into our lives. I know that from personal experience. My family knows that. My friends know that. So many people I know around the world are aware of this principle, and it does work. So make sure you get your copy of The Financial Law You Can't Afford to Ignore. It's only 13 pages. You could read the whole thing in about an hour or less. So go ahead and do that. Next program, we're going to talk about another great financial booklet. We all love money. So we're going to talk about the booklet, Solve Your Money Troubles. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
Been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.